in Mark's gospel a little while ago, and this is Matthew's wording in Matthew 19 and verse 13. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Amen. This is God's word. Let's just pray together briefly for a moment. Father God, as we still our hearts before you, we pray that you would speak very clearly to us this morning through your word. Give us ears to listen. Give us eyes to see. Give us minds to process. And give us a will and a desire to apply it to our lives for your glory and for your honor. Amen. What's not to like about children? An ex-farmer writes that we had spent the day moving from our farmhouse into our new house in town. Early the next morning, our 3.5-year-old ran into the bedroom to wake us up. I dressed him and told him to play in the yard and to quit bothering us. About 20 minutes later, he came running back. "Mummy, Mummy," he exclaimed, "everybody has doorbells and they all work." Some of you are laughing. And I guess one or two are maybe thinking under your breath, if they did that to my door, I'd. But we love our children, don't we? And we ought to love all our children. Jesus loves the little children. Many of us learned that growing up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We all sang that if we were raised in Sunday school. Well, certainly a number of years back anyway. That would have been one of the stable songs week by week. Another one would have been, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Those kinds of lovely sentiments are not without biblical foundation, you'll be pleased to hear. In this passage we have read, more than any other single passage gives the biblical foundation, for here we find our Lord blessing little children. We're reminded here of our need to bring our children to Jesus, not to block them, and indeed for us to believe in Jesus just as they do. The first thing for us to notice this morning is that we must bring our children to Jesus. And in verse 13 it says, then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. Little children were brought to Jesus. Parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors brought their own children and the children of their neighborhood to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless them, to pray for them. Back in that day, it was very commonplace for people to bring their children to the rabbi, to the teacher, to have him pray for their children and to bless them. And so today, we come and we bring our children to Jesus. Jay and Sandy have brought Lydia before God this morning, just as they have done on previous occasions with both Naomi and with Miriam. They've come firstly to give thanks to God for the wonderful gift that children are, and then to dedicate themselves to bringing up Lydia well. They want all their girls to learn about Jesus and to be brought up within the church. And that is the best that we can do for all of our children, to bring them to Jesus, to teach them all about him and his amazing love. How do we bring our children to Jesus, though? Well, for this, we need to think more on all of what Scripture would teach us. Firstly, we bring them to Jesus by prayer. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's mother prayed for him fervently. As a young child, she prayed for him. As he grew up, she prayed for him. She kept praying for our boy from a young age on. And Spurgeon, in case you don't know the name, was mightily used by God as one of the greatest Baptist preachers ever. The Apostle Paul often records his prayers for the people he writes to. He prays, as we've thought over recent times here in Cornton, as we've worked our way through Ephesians and now Colossians, he prays that they would grow in their knowledge of God and their love for God. The best example, of course, of prayer is our Lord Jesus himself. He taught his disciples how to pray using that wonderful prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven." He also prayed alone often. Got up early and prayed, withdrew to quiet spots, and he prayed. He prayed in difficult times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed for his disciples and for all believers who would hear their message. In John chapter 17, we are encouraged throughout the scriptures to pray to our Father in heaven. The wonderful old hymn reminds us, doesn't it, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That was my grandfather's favorite hymn, and he prayed often, and I am so grateful for his prayers for me that have led me to where I am today. And so we bring our children to Jesus by prayer. We pray for them. We pray for God's protection on them. We pray for God to lead them and to guide them throughout their life. We pray for God to bless them richly as he shines his face upon them, as we've already prayed and sung this morning, haven't we? And we pray that they would come to know Jesus as their own Lord and Savior in due course. So we bring our children to Jesus by praying for them. But we also bring our children to Jesus by teaching them the scriptures, by teaching the Bible. These people were teaching their children what was important in life. These people recognized who Jesus was, that he was different from all the other teachers around. A text I often use at dedications, sometimes preach on, other times as we did this morning, we used it as a responsive prayer at the start. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." It's important to teach our children, even from a young age, about God and his love and his teaching in the Bible. And so these people began to teach them by bringing them to Jesus. And we can help teach our children by bringing them to Jesus as well. We do that firstly at home. Okay? The first place parents, those of you that are parents out there, those of you that aspire to be parents one day, those of you that are now grandparents and encouraging your own children to bring theirs up, well, first thing is, you are responsible at home, firstly, to teach your children about Jesus. I will do it gladly, and I will take great delight over many years teaching them the things of God from the front here, but the first and primary responsibility is yours at home. Read them the stories of Scripture as they go to bed at night and pray with them. As they grow, share more stories with them. Begin to interact with them as you tell the stories. We encourage them, too, to begin to pray themselves as they grow older. We teach them at home as they see and observe the way we live and the way we act. If we are a people found reading the Bible often, found praying at home, guess what? They will observe and follow our actions. If our actions aren't so good, they won't follow those. They won't copy those. So we have an awesome responsibility as parents. We pray, we teach. But we also bring our children to Jesus by example. Someone once asked Albert Schweitzer how children learned, and he said three ways: by example, and by example. Children read our lives, not our lectures. Now, that's not to disparage verbal instruction in the things of God, because that is vitally important. And the Bible clearly teaches us that the responsibility for spiritual training in the home is important, and it's for parents. We must teach our children how to know Christ and to walk with him. And so we read the Bible and we pray. It requires us sometimes to turn the television off so that we can spend those moments together. It requires us actually to take these little things and to throw them in a dark corner and to forget about them for a little while so that we can spend time, quality time, with our children, teaching them the things of God. But in addition to verbal teaching, our lives must live up to our words. Nothing will drive a child away quicker from faith than hypocrisy. I'm not talking about us being perfect, but I'm talking about us living real lives before Christ. When we sin against our families, we should ask for forgiveness. Our daily lives should show forth the fruit of the Spirit in our homes. Our children watch how we live. They watch how we act. They use the words that we use, whether they be good words or bad words. You know, I remember, it's an old story. Some of you all heard it before, I'm sure. But I remember when we were in Livingston, and Morag ran a toddler group there for a number of years. And one day, a preschool girl swore right in the middle of the toddler group. She swore straight out. And her mum looked at Morag and she said, "I can't believe it. Where did she learn that?" Now, Morag's a little bit more gracious than I am. Morag very gently said to her, "Have you ever listened to yourself? Every second or third word was an expletive." And she didn't know it. She didn't recognize it. And so her daughter picked up her example. Our children follow our example. They follow our example in how we speak and how we act as well. If we're kind, if we're caring and gentle with people, our kids will be too. Our Rebecca always saw Morag in particular relating well to the children and the churches we've been in. And as she grew up, what does Rebecca do? She follows suit. Andrew saw me most of the time getting my sleeves rolled up and getting involved in whatever needed done. And of course, what does he do? He rolls those sleeves up and he mucks in. But of course, the converse is also true for us, my friends, which means we need to watch. I saw and I felt the wrath of my father's temper growing up. And there are times during my upbringing up of my kids when my temper has got the better of me. I have followed his example, and that's a bad thing. We need to watch what we do in order that our kids would follow our example and would follow a great example as we seek to follow after the example of Christ. Isn't that what Paul says? Follow me as I follow Christ. And of course, the people here are setting a great example to their children. It doesn't tell us specifically there in the text that they prayed for them or taught them the Bible. That's something we learn throughout the whole of Scripture. But certainly in this verse, it says that they brought them to Jesus. What an example. They brought their children to Jesus. They knew Jesus was a special teacher sent from God. They knew he was different. They wanted him to touch and to bless their children. And the best example we can give to our children is by bringing them to Jesus. And we start that by bringing them to church Sunday by Sunday. It's important to be here week by week. Our kids get used to it. They receive the love and the care of friends and of family. As they grow, they hear the teaching of the Bible and they learn more about God's love, both in the service and in all the various activities we have on in a Sunday morning. Let's bring our children to Jesus. Sandy and Jay have done that in a very visible and tangible way this morning as they've given thanks for Lydia's life and dedicated themselves to bringing her up well. They do it week by week as they bring their children to church. And dare I say it, they do it at home day by day as they read the Scriptures to them and pray with them. That is our example for our children. Bring them to Jesus. But there's another important lesson here. We must not block our children from Jesus. We read in verse 13 that the little children were being brought to him, but look what the disciples did. It says, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. The disciples were blocking children from Jesus. And the disciples represent the people of God today, those present here within this church family. And Jesus has a word for them. These disciples have tried to rebuke the people and send the children away. And that might seem strange to you and to me. But these men have been with Jesus. They've seen him welcome many, many people to his side. Jesus never turned anyone away, did he? But here the disciples decide to block people from coming to Jesus. I guess there are three little things here for us to think about, probably more. But we don't block them. Don't block them because they're little. Don't block them because they're little. Jesus says to his disciples in verse 14, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them." Jesus recognizes the importance of children. They may be too young to understand the ways of the world, too young to understand the deep mysteries of Scripture, but they're not too little to be important. Jesus is busy. Crowds are around him as they always are, but Jesus stops and he picks up the children. He speaks to them and he blesses them. Just because our children are little doesn't mean that we should ignore them. Just because our children are little does not mean that we should not care for them. Just because our children are little does not mean that we should not look out for their spiritual welfare. We can teach them about Jesus from a young age. We can read them simple Bible stories. We can teach them to read using the Bible stories as they get older. We can teach them about Jesus and tell them all the stories about him. We can do that from a young age. Children are never too little. Never too little. to hear about Jesus. Nor should we block them because of our doubts. And let's be honest, at times we have doubts, don't we? Sometimes as we grow older, we doubt Jesus. We doubt parts of the Bible story. We look at the world around, its attractions, its pleasures, and for some reason we seem to be drawn away. With that mindset, we begin to doubt that church is important, and we don't tell our kids. We think to ourselves, we'll let them decide when they grow up, and that's always something that we'd advocate. Children have to decide for themselves. Of course they do. But don't neglect your duty to bring them up well and to point them in the right direction. That is so important for us to be doing that. If you've got doubts, go to church with your doubts. Take your children with you. Listen in and see if those doubts can be removed. Ask the questions of the pastor. You might be better to ask questions of some of the folks in the pew beside you, but you can do that as well. Ask us questions, but please don't stop. Don't let your doubts stop you from coming to church and bringing your children. I dare say there were those in that crowd that day who would have had doubts about this new teacher that was doing the rounds, but it did not stop them bringing their children to Jesus that he might bless them. And obviously, we shouldn't block them because of anything we do. We spoke earlier of our example, didn't we? How that example is a great way of us bringing our children to Jesus, but the opposite is true. How criminal would it be if we stopped our kids from coming to Jesus because of something we did? And that may be our words back there again. Maybe our words, the way we use them. Colossians 3 and 8 speaks of abusive language and how we're to avoid it. Ephesians 4:29 encourages us to use words that build up, that encourage each other. To scream in anger at a child, to call our names, to use sarcasm and put-downs is to sin against them. If you do such things, you need to repent and seek their forgiveness and God's forgiveness too. We have to watch not to be abusive to them in other ways as well. Many, many things will block our kids from getting to Jesus. Let us guard against them. We're called to bring our children. We're called not to block them. But you know, there's a wonderful little message in here that we are to believe in Jesus just as children do. We must believe in Jesus just as children do. What do I mean by that? Well, look what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Mark and Luke, in their retelling of that story, add in other words of Jesus. They say, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And so here he gives us a lesson of how we as adults can come to believe in him and enter the kingdom. As adults, we often like to try to rationalize everything. We like to try and work it all out. We put on our scientific minds if we've got them. We like neat answers to all of our questions. We want to understand absolutely everything before we come to accept it. But many times that stops us coming to Christ. We think we can do it on our own. But children are different. There is a very simple trust and a very simple respect. Children, firstly, have humility. They're humble creatures. They don't come with their puffed up importance. They don't show off all their prizes as if somehow it makes them the bee's knees. They come as they are. They put that smile on their face. And what do you do when a little child comes to you with a smile on your face? You pick them up and you pop them on your knee, don't you? You hug them. You keep them close. Rebecca still will come quite often and just plonk herself in the chair beside me. She's not done anything big. She's not done anything important. She's not done anything wrong either. She's not earned some kind of right to sit there, but she comes because she wants to be with her dad. And her dad puts his arm around her because of who she is, not because of what she's done. And there's just such a wonderful picture of God there, isn't there? He takes us as we are. He takes us into his arms, not because of what we've done, for there's nothing we can do, but because he loves us for who we are. He loves us even as sinners, even as bad people. You see, the lesson Jesus teaches us here is that we have to come humbly before God. There's no other way. We are sinners. We've rebelled against God. We've forgotten him. We've gone our own way. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And since we've sinned against God and gone our own way, we are far from him. Indeed, we are separated from him. God has to punish sin because he's a just God. Yet he loves his creation. He sent his son to die in our place on the cross. He offers us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. To get right with God, we have to accept that offer of forgiveness. We have to repent of our sins and turn to follow him. We have to accept him as Lord. And guess what? We can only come and do that if we come humbly. If we lay aside our pride. If we lay aside our desire to know absolutely everything there is to know, if we lay aside our desire to want to stick to the things of the world and take the things of the church as well, listen, we just humbly need to let go of everything, to come with empty hands, to come with an open heart, and to crown Christ as Lord. Children, come humbly. Children also have dependence. You thought about that? They depend on other people. They rely on their parents. They can't feed themselves. They can't wash themselves or change themselves. Although, actually, Lydia's probably getting to that age and stage where she probably quite adamantly some days wants to dress herself, where she will want to feed herself, because what's the point in getting somebody else to feed you when I can do it myself and make a big mess in the process? That's what children do, isn't it? But she can't cook. She can't clean the house. She can't earn money to put food on the table. The girls rely on Sandy and on Jay, and they do that without thinking. They do it without questioning. They simply depend upon them. And Jesus says he wants us to do the same with regard to God. We have to come and depend on him. We need to do that without having all the answers. We depend on God for life and for breath. He made us. He knows us. He knows how we're wired. He knows how we work, and he knows what we need in life. And when it comes to salvation, to being in heaven with him for all of eternity, we have to depend on him. We cannot do it on our own. There's dependence, there's humility. Children have faith as well. They trust their parents. They have faith in them. They believe they will look after them. They believe that they will provide for them. They don't need big promises. They don't need written contracts. They don't need anything else. They put their faith in their parents. And so we're called to put our faith in Jesus, to take that giant leap. When our kids were younger, they would stand on the second or third, or Rebecca would be a bit braver than Andrew, and would go to the fourth or the fifth step on the stairs of our house in Livingston, and they would call for Dad to stand so they could jump into his arms. They had faith that I would catch them. They didn't know that for sure. Of course they didn't. They didn't know that for sure. But they jumped, and I caught them. And we need to take that jump sometimes ourselves, to lay aside our desire for knowledge, to lay aside our doubts, and just trust. We have to believe in Jesus, as children do, with humility, with dependence, with faith. Jesus loves the little children, and he shows it as he rebukes the disciples. And as he encourages the people to bring their children to him, he also shows his love in one final way in our text. Jesus blesses the little children. Matthew simply tells us that when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Mark tells us that he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, he blessed them. And he longs to do the same with us. He longs for us to lay aside everything else and simply come to him. And he will take us in his arms. He will shelter us from the storms of life. He will walk with us through the hard and the difficult days, and he will bless us. Friends, this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, then I simply want to invite you to run into his open arms today. I urge you to turn from your sin and to follow Jesus. I urge you to leave your doubts behind. I urge you to leave behind that desire to know absolutely everything down to the ninth degree or whatever it happens to be. I urge you to lay it all aside and to come and to crown Jesus Christ as your Lord. And you can do that as we pray in a moment. And let me encourage you to speak to me afterwards if you want to make that decision to follow Christ today. Speak to somebody around you. Come and speak to me. Jesus longs to bless us all. Particularly, though, this morning we've seen him bless the little children. Jay and Sandy, you have one of the most awesome responsibilities and privileges that this life affords us. Children are a wonderful and a precious gift from God. You have recognized that, and you've come this morning to give thanks to God for Lydia's life. You've dedicated yourselves to bringing her up well, made those promises. That starts by bringing your children to Jesus. You bring them by prayer, by teaching the Bible, by your example. You must not block them from Jesus because they're little, because of your doubts, because of anything actually that you do. And we must believe in Jesus, each one of us. We must believe in Jesus as children do, with humility, with dependence, with faith. Be encouraged today that Jesus loves the little children, and the best that we can do for them, each one of us, whether we're parents or not, whether we're just supporters of the parents within the church, the best we can do is to share God's love with them and our love with them as well. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for, just once more this morning, for the precious gift of children, of new life, of young life. Lord, we thank you for the joy that they bring to us, to parents, and to those who aren't parents. Lord, we thank you for the joy and delight it is to see them running out to their activities, the joy and delight it is to see them singing the songs and doing the actions and following along. Lord, what a joy and a delight it is for us to see them grow and flourish and live knowing you. And so, Lord, we pray for ourselves as we thought in your word this morning. We pray as we go from this place that word wouldn't depart from us, that we wouldn't leave it behind, that we wouldn't be stolen from us. But, Lord, that your word would remain in our minds, that we would think upon it this day and in the days to come, that we would see and think on how to apply it in our own lives individually, as well in our lives corporately as a church. Lord, we thank you for the gift of children. Help us to keep bringing them to you. Help us to encourage them in that. Help us always to share your love and our love with them. And Lord, we pray for each of our children in this church, each and every one of them, that they would grow to know you, that they would grow to love you, that they too would grow to walk in your ways as your disciples. Father God, bless our children. Protect our children. Guard them and keep them in your care always. And Lord, help us to do the same and to bring them to Jesus. Hear our prayers, Father God. Continue with us, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.